got toasted butter.
You like my accessory?
Happy fucking happy hour. It's my friend, superhero Gloria Allred is here, everybody.
And may I say, I love all of your accessories.
Thank you very much. Can you turn my box up or I'm going to have her sue you for non-sexual harassment? Is that a thing?
Your box is up.
Thank you very much. Gloria Allred. This is weird, right? Because we've been friends for like a thousand. In fact, I was saying, I think I met you. I think our love story began at KBC. Right?
Wow.
I think so. I mean, my love story with you began a lot sooner, but we both did radio shows at KBC at the same time.
Yes, I did that for 14 years. I was a radio talk show host at KBC. Had a lot of fun doing it.
Larry Elder's the one that made me feel like it was okay to call you Superglow.
Oh, he did call me Superglow quite a bit.
She's my feminist superhero. Is that okay? All right, fuck it.
So cool.
Superglow.
Thank you. And here I am in your just gorgeous studio. Wow. This is professional.
You meant to say basement, but thank you.
And I love it.
Yeah.
First of all, I love seeing your books.
Well,
Sexy Liberal.
Of Me, I Sing.
Of
Can
Me,
I just
I
say,
Sing. I've never seen the cover of that book before.
You're the only guest at a Sexy Liberal show that has gotten a standing ovation for being in the audience of L.A. Sexy Liberal.
I was there.
Right before the election, and she had her Hillary, her delegate sign still from the convention. And I just introduced her from the stage, and the crowd was like,
oh, that was so much fun.
Yeah, that was just you standing. That was it.
Yeah, thank you. And what a coincidence. Here you are sitting next to a scarf.
Yeah.
It says Seeing All Red. What a coincidence.
As I
Netflix,
said to you.
February 9th.
As I said to you at the premiere of Seeing All Red, now streaming at Netflix, I said, thank you for coming to my film, because I am in the film, Travis, which makes my body of work now two films.
I watched. I was very excited to see you in that.
Thank you very much.
I actually saw some friends at my gay pride party at the parade at the end.
Oh, that's hilarious.
The film is fucking fabulous. Let me just say that. It is fucking fabulous. It is the Gloria that I've known my whole life. Obviously, you were my feminist, like, superhero before I ever met you. You know what? I can be honest with you because we're friends. I shit myself when I met you. I did a little. Wow. I did a duty in my pants.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you... I mean, this film... Travis, if I was going to do a normal interview, it would take fucking 14 years. She's done everything. She's fought for everything. She's done every case.
Most importantly, she's changed the world, right?
Yes. Yeah. Who runs the world? Girls. Gloria Allred. Gloria Allred. Gloria Allred.
And you know, I often say, I mean, I do this. I feel it's my duty to do this, but I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I never... it's been many years since I heard someone say, I do my duty in my pants.
Yeah. Well,
the way you
probably
just
not something
said
you would,
it. I guess you're referring to a different
duty. Most people are not
duty.
Honest with you. They're trying to be cool. Like, oh, whatever. It's Gloria Allred. I just had lunch with Gloria Steinem. Whatever. But I'm like, oh, my God. It's Gloria Allred.
Oh, you're so much fun. Gloria Steinem's in the documentary.
I was there
Allred.
With you.
Yes.
I got to sit next to you. That was a great tweet, right, Travis? I was like, look, I'm seeing Allred.
While I'm seeing
Allred. She was sitting next to me, so I was able to lean over to her during the film and go, can we talk about that 70s bowl cut at some point?
And I know we're going to talk about it this hour. And that's just cool with me. I might add, you are a star in the film.
Thank you.
And you, I have to point out
thank you.
That in the interview.
That's my humble voice.
That you did, and probably the last time we're going to hear it this hour too, but it's fine. We love both voices. That you interviewed me. On the day of the Women's March,
yes.
I believe, in 2017.
Yep. In D.C.
Yeah, in D.C., and before we went to March. And you said in the interview, you said something about the Russians interfering with the election. At that time, I was not aware. There was not much talk about it. And
yeah.
It just kind of, I was saying
well,
to
Hillary
myself,
mentioned it, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but not a whole lot of talk about
right,
it.
Right, right.
And I was sitting there thinking, what's she talking about? And of course, you were prescient, you know,
yes.
because
yes.
this is such a key issue these days.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the fact that he's an illegitimate fucking gelatinous grift weasel?
Well, the fact that the Russians interfered with our election
yeah,
process.
That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, I don't believe it's
move to strike.
Fair to say that they had no impact on our election.
Of course they did.
Of course they did. I liked what someone said on television the other day when she said, That would only be true if you think that advertising has no impact at all on people's minds. And if you think that, then why are people paying so much millions of dollars for advertising?
All right, listen to me again. This is the tip of the iceberg. We're going to find out a lot more. There is no way, as Hillary and others have said, that they knew how to micro-target those voters in swing states and that they hacked into 21 states. We're at the tip of the iceberg.
Unless they had a little help from their friends.
Yes, there's no way they would have known how to weaponize.
Opposition party.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, that's, you know, a lot of people.
This is what I exist for, is to teach Gloria Allred things, to give her the news.
You know what? It was so cool that you said that and that we captured that in the film.
Well, but you know what's, we were supposed to be there for the last sexy liberal doing our victory lap for Hillary's victory. And it ended up being fucking Trump's inauguration and the Women's March. So there we were. And it was so great to be able to share that moment with you and that it made it in the film. Listen, Netflix lady, I understand that a lot of my scenes ended up on the cutting room floor. What's that about? Because I heard I was in the film a lot more. I would like to.
You were in it quite a bit.
Oh, well, all right.
They also showed some of the rioting outside in the streets. Which I missed, but the producer was standing outside with a camera, and all of a sudden rioting broke out. You see that in the documentary.
All right, listen, I'm going to try to be your Barbara Walters and try to get you to cry in this interview. Why? Can I first of all ask, why don't you drink? What's up with that? It's the happy hour. I knew that you weren't going to drink.
She's got another interview.
If you see the film, you can't get anything personal out of her.
I don't drink alcohol.
Never, ever?
But especially if I know I'm going to be doing the Stephanie Miller show, because I have to be like right on top of everything. Otherwise, she's going to catch me.
I wouldn't make you cry in a bad way, in a good way.
No, I mean, crying is fine. I always say, and I said it on your show, first we cry and then we fight.
Right. Well, what if I cry? What if I get drunk and cry because you won't answer certain questions?
Well, you can do that.
Because you love me.
I'll just finish the show myself. It's fine. Not a problem.
That was one of my favorite moments in the film. The producers were trying to ask you something about your personal life, and they were like, can you tell your client she's being non-responsive?
Yeah. Your Honor, motion to strike. Right. So, well.
So, wait. So, because I've never done any drug. I've never even smoked pot.
Mm-hmm.
But, so you've never had alcohol? Or you did?
No, I can't say I never had.
When you were a pen girl?
When I was in college, right? We'd go to fraternity parties. Yeah. I had a lot of mixed drinks.
Yeah.
But she knows better when she comes to visit you.
Oh. No, but you haven't had drugs since then?
Mimosas and things like that. I can't even remember the name.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of them had orange juice in it.
Yeah, so, that's orange juice. Good.
No,
wait,
but I mean,
so that was in college?
Well. Yeah, that was in college. Fraternity parties. But
why?
You know, then I realized afterwards that the mixed drinks that I like would make me gain weight, and I didn't really care enough about drinking that I would want to gain weight from it.
Yeah.
I'd rather have some dessert. Every once in a while.
Oh, I see. And so I'm the opposite. I don't like dessert. I get my sugar.
But now, you know, if you have 10 glasses of water a day, you can get high.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks for that, Gloria. No, what? No, I understand. You need to fit in your little teeny tiny colored suit jackets.
There you go.
That you apparently get from Midge from Barbie's dream house. Is it her clearance sales?
Did you like the line about toys, boys' toys and girls' toys in the film?
Yes.
And, you know, that there were advertisements years ago where, you know, Barbie would have to look right or something in order to be able to prepare dinner for Ken, something like that.
Sure. Yeah. Right. Well, that was one of your first lawsuits. You sued Save-On, right?
Save-On drugstores, yes.
Yeah, to not have
boys' toys and girls' toys. In other words, in the aisles in the stores, they would have a sign. On one side would be boys' toys, on the other side would be girls' toys.
Yeah.
So on the boys' toy side, there were money games and you know, playing doctor and trucks. And then on the girls' side, there were things like dolly diapers, and vacuum cleaners,
perfect,
and things like that. So the question is, why can't girls play with money games? Don't they have to grow up and learn how to budget money?
Right.
And why can't boys play with dolls and learn how to change diapers? Because aren't they going to be parents? Many of them, not all. Someday.
Now, this is where you discovered your lifelong commitment to wearing Midge's suits from the Barbie Dream House.
Not quite. And I don't look anything like Barbie. But
no, you look like Midge. Except for Midge never had a bowl cut in the 70s.
Midge, is,
Midge was Barbie's best friend.
Okay.
She was brunette.
Well, let's face it, because
Gloria,
for women,
on.
It's always all about the hair.
Right.
And, and
your
hair,
you look so much more fabulous now. I mean, your hair looks better. You're gorgeous.
She's diplomatic. What she wants to say is, she hated the bowl haircut.
Okay. You said we would talk about it, and you would bring the bowl.
Yeah. Well, the bowl.
We were
going to
give her actually a bowl haircut on the podcast.
Yeah. I have to say that haircut. Yeah. I always confess to being a head in search of a hairstyle.
Yeah.
I've had more hairstyles than
just a wig head.
Anybody could count.
Uh huh.
And most women change their hair many times. Of course, you are an exception.
Yeah.
Because.
Wow, was that a caddy?
Well, no. Hell,
you found something, you stuck with it.
No. I'm just sticking with this.
No, because Stephanie is different. We all know that, and we like that about Stephanie.
Listen, Miller. Susan Day from the Partridge Family is my hair role model, and I'm sticking with this till I fucking die, Gloria.
Well, you know, is that the way you're going to die?
I hope not.
But anyway, but your hair is
It'll
gorgeous.
All come together
we all love
when mom
we all
sings
love
along.
It looks gorgeous.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Fabulous, darling. Simply fabulous.
Do our microphones sound like shit, or is it me? I don't... Are they cracking? I don't know why.
I'm not hearing it.
Okay. It's just me. Gloria, let's talk about...
All now right. We got over the hairstyles.
Right. Well, no, because it's in the film, too, how you were a guy magnet, you know, because, all the guys.
I don't know because of the bowl haircut.
Can I tell you a story?
It actually started as a pixie haircut when I was about 14 years old. Oh. And, you know, it was kind of Gene Seberg was in Joan of Arc.
Right.
I think that's who it was.
Oh, is that what it is?
And anyway... So then people started calling me, my teachers started calling me Jeanne d'Arc, Joan of Arc, because of the haircut. Anyway, it was just easy. All I had to do was brush it once in the morning.
Sure,
because
you had to go fucking save the world.
And that was easy, and I didn't have to think about it. So I think until somewhere in my 30s, I still had that haircut.
Yeah.
People were saying, that must be a political statement. It wasn't a political statement. It was just easier in my life not to have to deal with my hair.
Right. Did you see this Emma Gonzalez, who's my new... hero.
She one of is an amazing Parklet. Student.
But did you see she did a video of her shaving her head and she's like, got stuff to do. Hair's getting too long.
Yeah, well.
They're going to save us, the next generation of girls.
She is terrific. What a wonderful leader, student leader there in Parkland, Florida. And what a terrific speaker.
Yeah.
And she has amazing leadership qualities. Excellent. So,
well, your whole lifetime of work, this whole Me Too movement and now... You know, the Parkland kids have got to be really just as inspirational to you as they are to the rest of us, where
they go,
oh, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to save us.
Well, I don't know if they're going to save us, but hopefully, as Gandhi said, they'll be the change they wish to see in the world.
Right.
And, you know, in our film, in the Netflix film, Seeing All Red, you see a
streaming now on Netflix.
There you go.
Starring Stephanie Miller.
The reason I'm saying that is because you see a transformational process. You see.
Yeah.
Many of my clients, who these are accusers of Bill Cosby, being transformed from victims. In other words, they are fighting through their tears. They allege that they were victims of Mr. Cosby.
Right.
To become survivors, to becoming fighters for change and working to change the law. That's really the same process that we see people like Emma Gonzalez going through, other students going through in Parkland, Florida. That many of them are fighting through the tears and through the pain of this terrible tragedy that they suffered at their high school.
Yeah.
But now they're moving, some of them, and they'll be a different pace for each individual, from being victims to becoming survivors. And now they're out there fighting for change, to change the laws. So that's transformational. Yeah. They're becoming empowered. And that's great. That's what we want of young people and middle-aged people and older people of all people.
Can I tell you why I love Seeing All Red starring
Stephanie Miller?
Streaming now on Netflix.
Shameless.
It's because, Travis, it shows the Gloria Allred that I know and a lot of us know and have revered all our lives. Because, you know, and it deals with it in the film about things that I'm sure are hurtful to you. People calling you, you know, publicity hound, and oh, people must be lying, and oh,
actually,
she's in it for money.
Nothing,
and, oh.
None of that's hurtful to me.
Yeah. But I mean,
that's the price we pay for speaking out for women's rights and against injustice and for rights for lesbian and gay and transgender individuals.
But my friend and I were saying that, you know, the whole point of it is that you were one of the, you know, obviously really brilliant people early on that understood the power of media. And this whole film shows it, that this was it was like a hostage crisis negotiation, Travis, to get her to talk about her personal life because she just wanted the film to be about her clients.
That's right.
And so people that go, oh, she's a publicity hog and don't get between, you know, Gloria and a camera or whatever. It's like you learned early on it was for your clients, that the publicity, it was to help your clients. It wasn't for you. And when people talk about money, take a ride out to Gloria's beach house in Malibu.
Well, let me
tell
just
you
say,
how much she doesn't need money.
First of all,
you could have quit a long time ago.
Yes, I could have. And first of all, I don't even talk about it as publicity because it is not publicity. It's about coverage of important issues.
Right.
Issues like sexual harassment, employment, sex discrimination, race
right.
discrimination, discrimination on account of sexual orientation, discrimination against people who are transgender or on account of their age or their race or their physical handicap or their national origin.
Yeah.
These are coverage issues.
Right, but
you have to look at it. It's
you
different.
Were one of the first people to know how to use media, harness the power of media for your clients.
For the court of public opinion, it is very significant.
Yeah.
Because, you know, unless there can be a voice for persons who allege they are victims in an appropriate case, not in every case.
Yeah.
Then the spotlight is not turned on the need for change.
Yeah.
And the way we win change is we have to hear why we need that change, and who better to hear it from than the persons who have suffered as a result of being denied their rights. That's what this is all about.
It's in the film about the Cosby case, because when you started taking that, you knew full well as a lawyer that a lot of the statute of limitations had run out.
But there's no statute of limitations, Stephanie, on the right of free speech.
That's right. And so that's what I'm saying is that was the whole point was to – and now look at that. That's what affects change is now look what's happened between Cosby and just the entire Me Too movement, because it empowered other women to have the courage to come forward, right?
Yes. Actually, I've been doing that long before the Cosby.
Well, no, I know. But I'm talking about specifically
but
the Cosby
true.
Case.
Then came Trump accusers speaking
right.
out.
Right.
Also, and then Harvey Weinstein and so
right.
forth. So, yes. I'm so proud of these women who have come forward who are very courageous.
Right.
And people criticize them and they say, well, why didn't they come forth earlier? Well, we need to change the laws so they have access to justice.
Yeah.
This statute of limitations, which is the arbitrary time period set by law, different in every state, different for different kinds of crimes, barred them, prevented them, in many cases, from being able to either assert a legal claim in a lawsuit.
Right.
Or, in some cases, even proceeding in the criminal justice system. Because even if a district attorney believed that she or he could prove a case beyond a reasonable doubt, it was just too late for the district attorney to prosecute.
Yeah.
So no access to justice. The courtroom door slammed in their face. This was their only option. And we all know why people didn't come forward sooner. There are different reasons for different people. Some of it is fear that they wouldn't be believed, and I can identify with that.
Right.
Fear that there would be attacks on them, threats on them, victim blaming, victim shaming. So now we have a different power dynamic.
Right.
Now the accused are on the defensive and the accusers are on the offensive.
Yeah.
Now it is the accused
yep.
men who wake up in the morning saying, oh, am I going to be blamed? Am I going to be shamed?
Yeah.
Am I going to have to suffer consequences?
The worm
for what
has
I've
turned.
Done? Well, it has, and you know what? That's if they think they're being denied due process, I think they can do something about it. They can help to open up the courthouse doors to women so they have access to justice.
Can I tell my love story about Gloria Allred? Would you mind? The one that ended up on the cutting room floor, Netflix lady?
Stephanie.
What?
I'm not going to do a documentary about you now.
Am I making this about me? I feel like Netflix owes me something. All right. I told this on the radio show, obviously, but because you couldn't make it to the convention hall in Philadelphia, remember? And so you were on the phone.
Your show.
Yeah. So I sent them video for the film of me talking to you on the phone, but you remember because I was crying.
And I remember it was on a
profusely.
Friday. Yes, I remember.
But because, Travis, do you know the story?
I'm about to hear it, aren't I? Mm-hmm. I'm about to hear it.
It was perfect. Gloria Allred was booked as our celebrity panelist for the Philadelphia Sexy Liberal, which was perfect. She's a Philly girl. It was Hillary's convention. We were about to have the first woman president. We were all very excited. So I never played a stage like this that had an open orchestra pit. You've seen my act. It's very physical and very spazzy, particularly for a woman of my age.
I know which one this is.
It's very physical. Anyway.
And you hadn't had anything to drink that night.
I had. Thank you.
Yes, I'm a witness.
She's my attorney.
I'm a witness to that.
Yes. Exact. Thank you.
Someone may have perjured herself right now.
No. No, but anyway, but I never played. It was, an open orchestra pit, but they didn't cover it. They didn't put even, a tape or anything. And so, exactly. So I was doing a thing, and I fell into the orchestra pit, and I thought broke my neck because, how you're just freaked out at the time. So Gloria gets into the ambulance with me. And I know I was like, all right, fill in your own ambulance chaser joke here. But she does not fucking chase it. She catches it, motherfuckers. So she got in the ambulance with me. She's like, she's a little busy. She's a little important. She's like, I want to go. And so you were like my mom. You were like my mom. You held my hand. I was in a neck brace. I was crying. And let me just fucking tell you one thing, Travis. When Gloria Allred pops out of the back of your ambulance, you get some fucking service at the emergency room. Those people had their shit together, man.
They hustled.
Don't you wish we had that on tape from them?
That would have been incredible.
The ambulance door opening and Gloria. Anyway, but yeah, and so you stayed with me while they did the MRIs and the whatever, and you held my hand, and I was crying, and you were telling me funny stories about suing Trump and winning, which I don't remember now because I thought I broke my neck. But can you tell that story?
Well, let me just say... I was sitting in the audience of your show because I was going to be going on the stage with you a little bit later.
Yes.
And I thought, I don't want to sit in the green room. I want it until it's my time. I want to go sit in the audience and just watch you.
Right.
Because I couldn't see or
hear
very well.
It was a good 10, 15 minutes, wasn't it, until I fell?
I'm in the back, and she's being very funny, everybody. As you know, she always is, no matter where she is and when she is and whether she's on camera or on her show or not. And, we're all laughing. And she takes a step forward. This is so awful. I don't know whether to laugh or cry remembering it.
Well, now we can laugh. Tragedy plus time.
All of a sudden, she's no longer on the stage, and I hear something, and she disappears. And I look. Did she jump into the orchestra pit?
Why? Why would she do that?
Part of the act or what?
Right.
So first, the audience is like, what?
What? I mean,
some people were laughing. They thought maybe it was part of the act. It was funny. And then... You didn't go back. You were still in the orchestra pit. And so I got, oh my God, something's happened to her. Yeah. So I ran backstage to the green room, see what happened. And then someone said, we're calling an ambulance. She's got to go to the hospital. I said, what?
Oh no.
I said, where is she? And they said, and then a minute later they said, oh, the ambulance has arrived. She's been taken out to it. I said, what? And so I ran out, and there you were in the back of the ambulance all by yourself, all by your lonesome.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, my God, she's really – this was not part of her act.
Because if it was, that was pretty elaborate.
And I felt
to get
like
the ambulance
this is
there.
A scary thing. You must – that was a big drop into the orchestra pit. And guess what? You weren't laughing.
No, it's not.
You had a tear coming out of your eye, and I just thought, there's no way she should be going to the hospital alone.
My mommy wasn't there.
Not knowing what is going to happen when you get there. What are you going to find out? Have you been injured? Because, the fear of the unknown, what's happened to you, anybody would be really scared.
Yeah.
Of course, on the way you were trying to make jokes, but I knew you were just really scared and I could feel it. So I know there's nobody that wants to be alone in an ambulance like that. So I just
went. Even in the hospital, in the emergency room, she stayed with me. I was like, I can't believe Gloria Allred's staying here holding my hand while I'm crying.
Yeah.
Gloria Allred's the liberal mother you never had.
Yes, exactly. My mom is a Trump-voting Republican, so it was a little bit of a magical sort of, what if Gloria Allred was my mommy? I love my mom. My mom would have been there. She's 95 and in Charlotte.
I was kind of standing for your mama.
Yeah. But what was the Trump story?
I was happy to do it.
The
Trump story had to do with, the Miss Universe, Miss Canada beauty pageant back in 2012.
Oh, right. Right.
Beautiful woman in it, Jenna Telekova, transgender. Oh. And then someone called in anonymously to the pageant, which was owned by Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And revealed that she had been born with a penis.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was kicked out of the pageant because they had a rule. You had to be a naturally born woman.
Yeah.
And then she contacted me. She flew down to Los Angeles. I held a very big news conference.
Yeah.
And I said to Donald Trump, you know, you have to put her back in the pageant.
Yeah.
You must eliminate that rule that you have to be a naturally born female. We don't care what your anatomy looked like when you were born. You shouldn't care what her anatomy looked like when she was born.
Tiny Cheeto.
He then got very tiny upset. Cheeto. He went on TMZ the next day with Harvey Levin, and he said something, and you'll see this in the film, to the effect of, oh, Gloria would love to see what's under my pants. The next day I responded to the press, Mr. Trump, I don't have a magnifying glass strong enough to see something that small.
So this is the story she told me.
That's right.
In a neck brace waiting for my MRI in the hospital. Made me laugh.
That's your job. Laughter's the best medicine.
It was like a, you know, the comedic break in $6 million Baby.
So, you know, thank God she was all right. You were actually out for a few days after that.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah.
She'll never say to anybody how much pain she's in, because that's Stephanie. She doesn't want anybody to worry about her. Nonetheless,
anyway,
I wanted
We told the story. You called into the show, and so I just was sobbing, thanking you. Thanking you again, because it was really extraordinary. But I thought that's why I loved the film so much, because I'm like, oh, no, this is Gloria Allred. This is who Gloria Allred is. Like, you know, I mean.
I'm very protective. And you know, when I care about people, I just want to take care of
them. Well, the only thing people were disappointed in is that I do not have a theater named after me in Philadelphia.
Yet.
But I will say.
Yet.
I've never sued anyone. So people are like, you are Gloria Allred. Why don't you sue the theater? I was like,
I didn't say that. Eh. But if you had sued the theater, you might be owning the theater today.
That's what they said. It would be the Stephanie Miller Theater in Philadelphia.
Keep in mind, statutes of limitations apply in Pennsylvania as well.
We'll talk about it after this.
I didn't say you should hire me. I said,
of course not.
But of course.
But it might be.
No, but the point is.
Help.
Yeah.
What?
Hopefully you're better today.
You went to university. I love my Penn girls, by the way.
Yes.
I have one in my past.
Ooh.
But,
ooh.
But you went to Penn. You were from Philly, which is in the film. Mm-hmm. So that was, and I love that part about you being there. For herstory, for Hillary's, you know, what we all thought obviously was going to be. I mean, it still was fucking amazing, wasn't it? Her speech and the suffrage.
She was so brave and so articulate. And, you know, a lot of people can identify with what happened in terms of their own workplaces to see the most qualified woman that you can ever imagine.
Yeah.
Lose a job.
She didn't lose.
Essentially, to the most unqualified person you can ever imagine.
Ugh.
That happens in many workplaces today.
I know.
Who happens to be a man.
I know.
But having said that, I just want to make clear, as I always do, the lawsuit I have against President Trump on behalf of Summer Zervos,
the
defamation lawsuit, which we're awaiting the court's decision now, which could come any day.
Right.
We filed not for political reasons, but because truth matters.
Right.
Because we heard him on the Access Hollywood tapes saying that he could kiss a woman, just grab her, kiss her because he's a star. He could grab her by her genitals. He didn't use that word. Mm. I do, and I know the word you'll use, which is the word he used. But
what
anyway.
Pussy. He's a pussy. Pussy,
I told
pussy,
you
pussy.
She would say that.
He's such a pussy, he should grab himself.
And then he denied on the debate with Hillary Rodham Clinton when Anderson Cooper asked him if he'd actually done what we heard him say on the Access Hollywood tapes. He said that it was only locker room talk. And then women came forward and made allegations of inappropriate conduct on his part, sexually inappropriate conduct toward them. One of them was Summer Zervos.
Yeah.
He called all of them who had gone public liars and said that what they said
was fabrication.
And they'd
all be sued. What's happened with that?
Yeah, he said he would sue them all after the election. He didn't. So after the election, I called on him to retract and acknowledge what Summers said was true. He failed to do so. So 3 days before the inauguration, I sued him and on behalf of Summer Zervos, the defamation case now pending in the Manhattan Supreme Court, New York. And so we're waiting for the court's decision. He made a motion to dismiss. We opposed it. It was argued early in December. We're awaiting the court's decision. We hope that she will allow us to move forward with the case. We think it's an important case. It's the only case on behalf of any of the women.
Who don't you just hope? I don't care what it fucking is. Karma needs to catch up with this motherfucker. He's been cheating, and he's just a disgusting excuse for a human. He's been just cheating and lying and grifting his whole life. He stole this election. I mean, it's so beyond what you, you know what I mean? If particularly someone for fighting for justice your whole life.
Yes,
that,
and all these other men
are being held accountable, and me too, except for him.
Well, as we said, we would like the opportunity to have this case decided in a court of law instead of by a tweet in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
We think that's the appropriate venue,
yeah,
the court of law for this case. So we'll see what happens. I'm very proud of Summer and all of the women who've had the courage to speak what they say is the truth about their lives.
Yeah. I love her
in the film.
I love this one interview. You say, I'm sad that I have to sleep. Because I could be doing so much more if I didn't have to. Roberta Grossman, one of your producers, who I know, as I've mentioned, I in the film stars
Stephanie Miller.
My point is, she said, Gloria Allred works harder than anyone I know. If money was the motivating factor, she would have rolled up the carpet and gone home. She clearly has more money. She doesn't need to work for the rest of her life. You know, and I thought some of the most touching scenes are you like in the airport alone, just going city to city, rolling your little legal bag through the airport, through hotel
rolling
lobbies.
Rolling bag of justice.
Yeah. Her little rolling bag of justice.
Yeah. I do. I work in airports and hotels and business centers and in my room and wherever I am.
Yeah.
Because there's so much to be done. And, you know, we care about the rights of women and enforcing those rights in courts of law. I have an office in New York and California. I'm also licensed in Washington, D.C. And I'm co-counseling in many other states on cases where women or minorities have been the victims of some type of injustice. Because, you know, women need to know. They can file cases if they've been raped, civil cases, even if the DA fails to prosecute against the predator. They can make him accountable in many ways. We need accountability for those who hurt women. And I always say, Stephanie, the cost of the wrong should be borne by the wrongdoer, not by the victim.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously one of the most powerful parts of the film. And, you know, I would say you and I are professional friends. We're not, you know, I mean, we don't hang out all the time, although now I'd like to. Just if I can get you to start drinking and, I don't know, maybe want to get laid, something.
Stephanie.
She works tirelessly. She doesn't have any fun.
I don't have time
for film.
I don't have time for that.
I know. I don't. Know. All right. Listen.
Nor do I have an interest.
There's other things. There are better things in life.
I know.
But, so one of the most powerful
Stephanie
parts of the film.
Stephanie can't get her mind off of sex. Well, and I can't get my mind off of sex discrimination and sexual harassment.
I know.
So
listen,
in
my
a way, we have something in common that way.
But I was not surprised in the film about the, you know, how popular you were with the guys, because my friend Rob, who's an attorney who you've met.
Yes.
He tells the story of being downtown at a courthouse or something, and he was walking with a colleague, and he saw you, and he was like, oh, my God, it's Gloria. You know, any young lawyer was like, oh, my God. And Rob's a very handsome, tall, handsome guy, mm-hmm. and he said he just, like, sort of tipped his sunglasses down and said, good morning, counselor. And he said that you said, well, good morning, counselor. And he was like, oh, Gloria Allred's she's a little bit flirty.
What?
She can dish it back.
Nothing hotter than a good morning counselor from another good looking.
Oh, yeah. You know. Well, not really. And then there's the line, people, when I turned down a guy years ago, and he said, I was very young, he said, are you a lesbian? And my friend Robin Tyler said, here's the answer you give when they ask, are you a lesbian? Just look at them and say, are you the alternative?
I've heard her do that line. That's fantastic. Exactly. Exactly. If only Travis, but no. Sadly, she is straight.
You would have tried, wouldn't you?
Of course I would have.
That's
totally
weird.
Totally would have tried to hit that.
She's your
liberal
mother.
I don't
care
if she could sue me for it.
She's your liberal mother, Stephanie. That's getting really weird.
That would be
weird.
Kind of incestuous.
It's getting really weird.
Right.
All right. I'm just kidding.
Awkward.
All right. Awkward.
Are you supposed to say,
but I just
awkward.
Love this. I did the, I listened to the whole Q&A. After the film here in Los Angeles, and it is amazing for you getting this rap about being publicity hungry that they pursued you for how long to do this film
about 2 years.
And you said no.
Yeah, exactly, because I didn't want my privacy to be invaded, and also I wanted to protect the confidentiality of my communications with my clients, which is my ethical duty, and which I feel very strongly about protecting, and I'm not going to talk about what they say to me or I say to them or even anybody who contacts me for legal advice, even if they don't become my clients. And I'm not going to talk about legal strategy in cases and off, and I'm not going to talk about confidential settlements,
yeah,
of which we have won hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm not going to talk about against whom, where it took place, who my client was, because people are entitled to their privacy,
yeah,
if they want that. And I'm going to protect that.
Well, I love that this article says she compromised. The directors could have a little of her. Glimpses of her beachfront home in Malibu, insight into her past, few details on two ex-husbands. In exchange, she would highlight the women she defends. I just love that it was like a hostage crisis negotiation to even get you. It's like, all right, will you say one thing about your ex-husband, and then we'll spot like 10 of your clients.
Well, you know, the point is, my clients are people whose names you would never have heard, probably,
yeah,
and whose stories you would never have heard. And it's important for them to have a voice.
Yeah.
And I wanted them, because they're important, they matter, they're, what has happened to them matters. I wanted them to be highlighted. That's what matters.
Well, obviously, one of the most powerful parts of the film, because people go, wow, where do you get this lifelong dedication to women and women's causes and civil rights and all of that? And so in the film, you talk about being raped at gunpoint in when you went on a trip to Acapulco. And it is really, again, we're friends. I didn't know that. And I don't know if a lot of people knew it, but the whole story that you got pregnant and had to have an abortion and
before Roe v.
almost
Wade,
died.
And it was in the 60s. Yeah. Yeah, this is, I mean, after all, people ask me, well, why are you such a passionate feminist?
Yeah.
Most people I know are feminists because of some life experience they've had. Not because they learned something in college or high school about women's rights, but that's all good if it's taught. I never had that course.
Yeah.
I wish I had. But, you know, I became a feminist because of what my father calls the College of Hard Knocks. That's what we all have in some way or another in life. We all have our challenges, and women have their secrets, some of which they never tell.
Yeah.
Or all of which they never tell. So that was my life experience in Mexico when I was in my 20s. And, you know, it's becoming pregnant at a time when you can't get a legal and safe, affordable, available abortion because people in Washington, D.C. or state capitals decide for a woman they've never met that she must remain pregnant and deliver and cannot get a legal abortion. What that meant is women of my generation, we would go to back alley help. People who would provide an abortion, I was about to say health care providers, but they weren't because they weren't licensed.
Yeah,
they were
just
people who did it. And then you didn't see them after that. They would leave you to hemorrhage or die.
Yeah.
In my case, I had 106 degree fever and had to be taken to the hospital and packed in ice. And to try to bring down my fever.
I wish I was there to tell you jokes like
to
you
hold
did
my
for
hand.
Me.
Right. You would have. And but you know there were women who were dying in that hospital from back alley.
You said a lot of women
from
didn't
the infection.
Make it. Yeah.
Well, we call it.
Yeah.
We have in the women's movement called it our Vietnam. That more women died or were maimed by illegal abortions than men ever died in Vietnam. And God bless those men who served us in Vietnam and the women too. But we had ours because of the laws, and that's why I am so dedicated about making sure we have a affordable, available. Legal abortions and safe ones, because women will always get abortions if they need to, but we want them to be safe. And that's what is very, very important. Of course, for years, the right wing has been trying to reverse Roe v. Wade make it illegal.
Yeah, and you've talked about this movement, you know, the Me Too movement as being an enormous shift in power. But I also thought it's interesting, the whatever percentage of women that voted for Trump, and it struck me, when you talked about the nurse in your recovery room when you're hemorrhaging and on the verge of death.
This'll teach you a lesson, yeah.
She said, this'll teach you a lesson.
Mm-hmm. What's the lesson?
They assume that all women are sluts that get pregnant?
Yeah, she never said, but I remembered it always.
Yeah.
Because how inappropriate. And, you know, people who jump to conclusions about why you're there, why you went to have an abortion, it's nobody's business why anyone went to have an abortion.
Yeah.
It's not an easy choice. I don't regret it for a second.
Yeah.
So, but it's part of why I'm so passionate about protecting women, because when it's illegal, the women who are hurt are young women and poor women and rural women.
Yeah.
And some, you know, some women who don't have the ability to go to someplace where it is safe and legal, like wealthy women do.
Yeah.
And I remember being young and poor.
Well, that,
and that's when women are most vulnerable. So I'll never forget that. Yeah. I know what that's like.
Well, this film so sort of spotlights that whole thing. I mean, just where your passion comes from. And like I say, I think it just dispenses with this whole bullshit about the, you know, again, you could have stopped a zillion years ago if it was for money. You've had all the publicity you could ever want.
Well, let me just say, there's nothing wrong with earning money, okay?
Right.
Because if we couldn't survive as a law firm, we would not be in any position to be able to help.
To help anyone.
Women. The first woman who ever won a sexual harassment case, lawyer before the United States Supreme Court, ended up having to declare bankruptcy. So suing big corporations, which we do, or the powerful, if you don't know how to do it as a business, you could end up not being able to help other people in the future.
Yeah.
If you have to go out of it. So there's nothing wrong with that.
But can I also tell you, for me, one of the other most touching parts of the film, knowing you, being friends with you and with your daughter, Lisa, is this whole, your experience in the mid-60s. First of all, you were a teacher before you became, I mean, your life is not what people think.
6.5 years I was a public school teacher.
Yes. You moved to Watts out here, but so you split from your...
And I taught Watts 1 year after the Watts riot or rebellion, as I say in the film, depending on your political point of view.
Right. But you, obviously in the film, you split from your first husband, who is Lisa's father, when he had bipolar disorder, became a threat, you thought, to your child. But I mean, to me, that's this whole story of what a warrior you've always been, even in your personal life, even though I know you don't like to talk about it, but that, you know, you had this child and you just did what you had to do. You know, you just went, all right, and I'm going to go to law school now and I'm going to, you know, do something else. I mean, it's just, you just... That whole "Nevertheless, she persisted." That could have been the name of the film too.
That's true, exactly. Well, you know, I had a responsibility, and I had to meet my responsibility. And there's no point in complaining. The point is to move forward and make the best life you can for yourself and your child, which I did. And I might add, I'm very proud of my daughter Lisa, and she's a good friend of yours. And you know, she's just a wonderful attorney.
Well, you raised an amazing
super
woman.
Duper mom, and great all around, just great member of her community. And
she and her daughter just came for dinner a few weeks ago, and she said, "I'll bring vegan food." And then she showed up at the door without vegan food. And let me just say, Gloria, I'm sure you raised her well, but I was like, "Oh fuck, I gotta find a vegan
Lisa
place."
Showed up without vegan food. Is that what?
I gotta find fucking vegan food. And she was like, "Oh, did I say I'd bring it?" I was like, "Yes, yes, you did."
And doesn't she look gorgeous though?
She's gorgeous.
Her diet of vegan.
She's gorgeous.
She
Well, yeah. I mean, you obviously raised a warrior woman in your image,
and she's
really
in the film.
Yeah. Oh, I know. No, she's great in the film. Exactly. I mean, but just I didn't know again that whole story of how you raised her and what you had to do and how you just, I mean, what an inspiration just to go, you know, even in that sense, you did what was best, as you said, for your child or for, you know, and.
By the way, my granddaughter's a lawyer, too.
I know. I've met her. She's fantastic, too. Something in these genes. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we don't have the fear gene in the matrilineal side of our family.
Lisa's done the happy hour. Marcia Clark has done the happy hour. Can I tell you a funny story? In 95, when you were Nicole Brown Simpson's, you were the
family attorney.
That's in the film?
But I remember I had a big party at my house in Laurel Canyon, and I remember Gloria came and Marcia Clark came, and I remember someone said to me, "Don't you know those two hate each other? What are you doing? They're going to get in a fight." And I asked Marcia about that on the happy hour. She goes, "Oh, no, we're fine."
I don't hate Marcia.
No.
Marcia's never done
she didn't say
wrong
that.
To me. Yeah.
Someone said, "Oh my God, I can't believe you invited him to the same party." It was right in the heat of. And
I've never criticized Marcia. She had a really tough job. To
I know.
Do, and she did.
But anyway, she was
could.
On the happy hour, and I asked her about that, and she goes, "Oh no, we're fine. I love Gloria.
Okay, I have no problem with her. Yeah, she did a great job." But to see a woman prosecutor, that was really important, especially in those days.
But it was just such a horrible emotional time. The whole.
Oh, it was.
You
oh,
know.
My God. And Denise Brown has gone on and continued to do such a great job. You know, for speaking out for battered women. So,
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't even know where to, I mean, what's the point of even going over your career? I mean, one of the things I think is really important, and you've made this point, you have prosecuted people on both sides of the aisle for people that go, "Oh, she's just partisan, blah, blah."
Oh, Democrats and Republicans?
Yes.
That's very
Anthony
true.
Weiner.
Anthony Weiner, a Democrat.
The guy from San Diego, Filner.
Yeah, Filner, right. Mayor Filner, we were the first to file a lawsuit and also then to have a press conference alleging that he had sexually harassed the city's communications director.
Yeah.
And Irene McCormick. And after that, every day for 19 days, another woman came out and said that she'd been sexually harassed by the mayor, too. And ultimately, yeah. In the mediation of the lawsuit we filed against him, he had to step down and resign as mayor.
Yeah.
So that was amazing. He was Democrat mayor.
But though you are a proud Democrat, right. I'm just saying it is.
Yes.
I don't know if people know that you have.
I am a Democrat. However, I will go after a Republican.
Yeah.
Or a Democrat. I don't care if they've hurt one of my clients.
Yeah.
If they've sexually harassed them, sexually abused them, whatever, raped, sexually.
Oh, we have one degree of separation. You represented Amber Fry.
Yes.
When she was a witness against Scott Peterson. And
my cousin was friends with her. We talked about this when you were coming.
Yeah.
Amazing. Really.
I mean, you were early on in the fight for marriage equality, obviously, as we talked about. Here's one.
Not only for marriage equality, but years before that, we had so many early cases for.
Yeah.
Like Papa Shu case on behalf of two lesbian life partners.
Yeah.
Who were not allowed. This is 1983. Weren't allowed to sit in the romantic section of the Papa Shu fine dining restaurant.
Yeah.
Because they said that the manager said that was for couples only.
Wow.
Opposite sex couples.
Here's what I did not know.
We fought that and we won. We established a true legal precedent in the Court of Appeals that persons who are lesbian or gay or that cannot be discriminated against on account of their gender or their sexual orientation, we were able to cite our own legal precedent in other cases after that. So we did it.
Yeah.
Even when it was not popular to do it,
right.
Because it was the right thing to do.
Here's one case I did not know about. You represented a client who was given pliers and told to remove her nipple rings at a Lubbock, Texas airport.
Yes.
Now, that one I had not.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's.
It's just
crying.
Awkward.
That was
Travis.
That was really bad. Yeah, she had these nipple rings in.
Yeah.
And she actually told the TSA.
Right.
When I go through, it might set something off. But just telling you in advance, because they were doing that random wand check, and then she was told, you have to remove those nipple rings.
Oh, boy.
I had been in there like for 10 years with scar tissue and everything.
Dear. Yeah. I hate when that happens.
And she said something about, I couldn't take them off without pliers, and they handed her some rusty pliers. According to
if
her.
I have trouble with my labia ring, you're on speed dial for
me. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
What?
I was going to bring up something. This is
we were able to change the policy nationwide.
I know. Of course you were. You're Gloria fucking Allred. Yes, Travis.
No, since we're talking about the Me Too movement, something that's actually breaking news that might be of interest to you. The Missouri governor was just indicted.
Oh,
really?
Blackmailing a woman he was having an affair with nude photos.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
The Republican governor of Missouri was actually let off in handcuffs.
Wow.
See, how
this
completely
is why,
shocking to no
this
one.
This is why I never take my clothes off, because I don't want anybody taking photos. It'd be too horrible.
See, I was really good. I didn't delve into your personal life, but because I know at that one moment in the film when they ask about,
his
second husband, you just were like radio silence, man.
Well, I mean, really, how
radio
long?
Silence,
not relevant.
Well, all right, move to strike.
Moved
okay.
on.
Fine. No, they cover your first husband and why you left,
been
and
there
you lose
and
his father, and
been
okay.
There and
so
done
anyway,
that.
But it was just very, very. Okay. All right. Fine. But you seriously have had no interest since then. You've never. What happens if you fall in love?
Other than with you, you mean?
Listen, don't tease me.
It's awkward again. It's your mom. This is your mom. Your liberal mother.
Would you have like a prenup ready to go if you did fall in love
I'm in a relationship.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Are you breaking news here?
Okay. Do you want to know?
I think you're fucking with me.
No, it's true. I'm in a relationship. It's with my computer.
Oh, you are. See?
I knew where that
damn
was going.
You.
I could tell that was
damn
going.
You, Gloria.
The way she was looking for power outlets upstairs.
I know.
She wanted
she didn't even care if I was ready. She's like, I don't care. I need to do some emails. Can I just have a power outlet?
Yeah.
Whatever. A power outlet, Stephanie Miller, who cares?
It was right in the
either one's fine.
See, you're looking, you know, you in your life are probably looking for sex toys. All I do
but
is
you're like,
I go around looking for outlets to plug in my computer.
Okay. Listen, I'm just saying, Gloria, it could happen. A crowded courtroom.
My computer is usually very loyal to me.
Right.
Has very few
You're still,
problems.
Can I just say hot?
If there is
You're
a problem,
hot.
I just give it to somebody else to fix and then I get it back. So we have this relationship.
I just want you
really
to have some love and care.
I do have it.
I know, but I mean, I'm just saying is that it sunsets over Malibu at some point.
Well, you know what we say in the women's movement? Become the person that you wanted to marry.
Oh, there you go.
So, you know, if you want someone who has a great sense of humor,
right.
try to develop it yourself.
There you go.
If you want to marry a lawyer, become a lawyer.
All right.
And on. Then if you also meet someone then that has those qualities, it's kind of like dessert, but
yeah.
you don't have to have it because you yeah. have it all in yourself.
Yeah.
So yeah. that's what it means.
Yeah. Well, and listen, that, you don't maybe know this story. It's Laura of the Stephanie Miller Show, but, you know, your daughter has all that, and I did have a big crush, and then she fucking Lisa Bloom to me, which is now part of the lexicon of the, and what that means is you married a man instead of me. Jesus.
Well.
Okay.
That's the way things work for some women, Stephanie.
Whatever.
Like men.
Beautiful like her mom. Lawyer. Okay. Don't you know someone else? Help me.
Don't you always want what you can't have? I mean, really?
No. No.
Look, people are lined up around the
block. Hook me up, woman.
Would like to be hooked up with Stephanie Miller. Are you
kidding
me?
If I can't get you laid, get me laid, Glo. Come on.
Okay.
Let's do this.
You know, it's been so long for me, I can't even remember what that term means.
How long ago was it? How long ago was it?
It's been so long.
Since you've seen a penis, not in a deposition, not in like a case.
I've seen so many in cases, you have no idea.
Well, that's probably what turned you off of it.
We
You're
have
like,
full-time
oh.
IT people downloading photos of penises that
yeah. well, no
you know,
wonder
the people like, that we are suing have oh, sent to
yeah.
our clients who have been victimized by sexual harassment.
Oh, so when guys ask you for dinner date, you're like, no, I had one for lunch.
No.
Yes, she loves me. She's my liberal mom.
Oh,
it's fine.
God. It's just unbelievable. What I've seen every part of the human body
yeah.
that has been photographed
yeah.
and sent to someone.
Don't you
people
think
have no idea what they're doing on the internet like that? They're sending yeah. pictures like that, and they could end up
yeah.
you know, on a big screen in a courtroom.
So, I mean, you made the joke, but don't you think that Trump probably has like anymore. A little, like, you know, when you have a bag of Cheetos and there's that one little deformed tiny one at the bottom? Don't you think that's probably
Donald
what it
Trump?
Looks.
You know,
yes.
I don't care about his anatomy, and I'm not here to make any jokes about it.
No, for sure not.
No, because
what's
happening is very serious.
Yeah, that's true. When I asked Travis to show up to work wearing something tight and look pretty, is that sexual harassment technically? I mean,
who am I representing here? Travis or you?
You're always on my side.
You're okay. Steph's side.
No, I don't actually have a Me Too moment. I've said I've actually sexually harassed more men than have ever sexually harassed me. I don't know why that is. I mean, I'm not sure. You know, who else said that? Who was the Pink said that? I don't know whether I'm terrifying or I'm too inappropriate, but I have not had a Me Too moment. I mean, I don't know. Guys in radio were just gross. I don't know. I had one.
I have to tell you,
400-pound DJ tried to kiss me in like 1980, whatever. But it wasn't really. I was like, no, and he stopped. I don't know.
When you're in radio, people often say, oh, you have a face for radio. You absolutely don't. You have a gorgeous face.
Oh, Glo.
You do. Play that romantic music again.
Oh, thank you, Glo. All right, listen. Seeing All Red, streaming. I saw it in a theater near me, but it is streaming on Netflix now, and it is so fantastic. You have got to see it. You've got to. Oh,
thank you so much. It's been trending, and we got positive reviews.
You've 100% got fantastic
rating
reviews
on Rotten Tomatoes. So we're thrilled that it's on Netflix, and people are seeing it all over the world.
Yeah, you have got to see it. And Netflix has got to give me a makeup film or series or something to make up for all of my scenes on the cutting room floor. Gloria, you are my hero.
And you look great and sounded great. What more could you ask for? She
you.
Was very funny. She was very Stephanie Miller.
Oh, my God.
And we're going to go out on the trailer for the movie. So.
Oh, here we go. We're going
Stay
out.
Tuned,
Play us out. What does that mean? Fuck it. I'll write this and I'll do it live.
We're doing it live.
We're going to go out on the Seeing All Red trailer from Netflix. Thank you, Gloria.
I'm so proud of all of the women who have had the courage to speak out. Rich, famous, powerful men have to understand there are rules, there are boundaries. They must respect those boundaries. This has got to end, and it needs to end right now.
There is a war on women. Women depend on me to be strong and to assert and protect their rights.
Joining us now,
civil rights attorney.
Please welcome Gloria Allred.
She talked about sexual harassment, race, women's rights, when nobody wanted to talk about it.
He thinks no more women will come forward. He is very wrong.
Power only understands power. fighting injustice is a commitment that I made many years ago.
She understands what we are experiencing based on what she had experienced herself.
What happened to me was absolutely shocking. To this day, I can't even think about it.
Is this getting too personal?
My commitment to women comes from my own life experience.
I have this venom toward Gloria Allred. Wherever you see Allred, you know somebody's lying.
That's assault! That is assault!
I think Gloria enjoys conflict. This makes her a great champion for us.
People say she's loud, she's got an ego, she must just love the camera.
She's trying to turn women into men!
I think secretly you envy women and you fear them!
I just say, haven't you met any men like that?
You should use these resources to arrest these fathers who are not paying their child support.
If it wouldn't have been for Gloria, Nicole would have always been just that person on the gurney.
We deserve to know if Mr. Cosby is a sexual predator.
This is not state law as we see it.
Hopefully next year you can issue the marriage license.
That try to help people evolve from being a victim.
'Cause I'm on fire, fire.
To becoming a survivor.
Fire.
Becoming a fighter for change.
Women are now empowered, and they will never be silent again.
This is